This is John Middlecoff from 3 and Out with John Middlecoff. Superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Week 3 rank debates. Let's talk to the pros. Welcome in, everybody, to Fantasy Pros. This is the Fantasy Football Podcast. It is me, Joey P, Joe Pizzapia, and today it is week 3. It is the RB wide receiver ranking show. We're going to have the debates, the discussions, all of the important things are going to be talked about right here on the podcast. And of course, Pat Fitzmaurice, the fantasy shillelagh, is going to join us today to talk about all of his rankings and why they're so much better than everybody else's. And of course, Jacob Gibbs is here as well from Sportsline CBS Fantasy. You can follow him on the Twitter machine at JAGibbs_23. Mr. Gibbs, welcome to the show. First time we're working together. I'm excited you made the time for us, buddy. How are you?
I am so good. I'm so honored to be here. It's my first time working with both of you, but I know of the work that you guys do. Been listening to the podcast excitedly, getting ready for this episode, and we've got a really exciting week to break down, so I'm pumped.
There you go. He's bringing the energy. That's who needs Andrew Erickson? We got all the Gibbs energy today. Pat Fitzmaurice, how bad was my Irish accent at the top of the show? Go ahead.
I was impressed, Joe. I mean, you could walk around in Dublin and no one would pick you out for a
visitor. Yeah, with this face, I'm sure I could, and no one would think any differently. I always joke that wherever I travel to, everyone just speaks the language to me. Because for some reason, I guess I just look conveniently ethnic for some other reasons where I am. And usually within 30 seconds, I have to disappoint them and say, I'm sorry, I'm just a dopey American and I can't help you. But today, hopefully we can help you sort through all of your rankings and figure out what is what here. And we've got some really good names on the board today to debate at the wide receiver and running back position. And I want to remind everybody too, if you're excited about the pod, if you've been listening to the pod, make sure you get in on the monthly giveaway we got going on, because we're giving away a Jalen Hurts jersey thanks to our good friends at pristineauction.com. And that's all happening at fantasypros.com/contest. Now, what you need to do is go leave a review of the podcast or subscribe on our social media channels. So follow us on TikTok, on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all the places. We're everywhere at Fantasy Pros. Go follow us there. Every follow you have, that's an entry. And whenever you go and drop a 5-star review of the show on wherever you get your podcast, hopefully Apple Podcasts is where you do, go drop that review. That is also a big time way to win this jersey. So get involved and go to fantasypros.com/contest to enter today and get your entries in, because that is a nice looking jersey. Let me tell you, it's sweet. And the way Hurts is playing right now, who knows what that might be worth by the end of the season. Could be a lot more.
Running back rankings.
Let's see what these guys are worth going into the season for week 3. And let's start with the running back again. That position is all the half PPR we're using on fantasypros.com/rankings. We're getting all the ECR here. Let's start with somebody that Pat likes more than Jacob. Let's start with Kareem Hunt. Pat, you've got him at RB18. Jacob's got him at 27. ECR is a little closer to Jacob. So let's talk about your love for Kareem Hunt this week in this matchup.
Well, this is why I never draft Kareem Hunt, Joe, because I'm like, I never know where to rank this guy every week. We could do a micropod on where to rank Kareem Hunt every week. When do you get the 2-touchdown, 100-yard game? When do you get the 9 carries for 28 yards?
Well, Chubb was just so good last week. I think that's what it was. You know, he was the Chubb game, so it happens.
Yeah, it was. And like so far, we've seen the snaps split basically even with those guys. So far, Chubb has played 78 snaps and Hunt 76. So we're seeing a 50-50. But yeah, it's like we know he's going to get about half the workload. We know, well, we think the matchup is pretty good. Like Pittsburgh has been, they've done a reasonably good job in their two games to start the season, first against Joe Mixon in week one, then against the Damian Harris Ramondre Stevenson combo in week two. But I don't know if this run defense has been fixed completely from the one that allowed the second most rushing yards to running backs last year. So like, I still don't consider this to be a tough matchup at all. You know, I think both Chubb and Hunt can get theirs in this one. Like I would lean towards starting Hunt if you've got him and are facing one of those weekly dilemmas about whether to use him or not.
All right. So Jacob, when we look at your ranking here, you're obviously a little bit more, I would say, cautious. It's not like you don't like him. You still got him in that RB2 range, obviously, but it's a little bit more, I guess, of the caution of the split backfield. Is that all it is?
Yeah. With Hunt, like Pat said, I don't really know how to rank him week to week. He's one of the hardest guys to rank. So generally where I land is weeks like this, where he doesn't have a, you know, a game script that clearly seems like conducive for more playing time for him. He seems to end up being a little bit lower in my projections and in my rankings than consensus. And so this week they're 4.5-point favorites, and we have seen pretty clear splits developing between Chubb and Hunt. Hunt has played 64% of Cleveland's passing downs and 39% of the rushing downs, while Chubb has played 43% of passing downs, 62% of rushing downs. And so while, you know, Pat hit on, they have pretty even snap rate, the rushing share is not that even. It's 38%. For Kareem Hunt. And so I just, in a game that like I expect them to be leading, I really have not been encouraged by what we've seen from Pittsburgh, from Mitch Trubisky. I am taking kind of a wait and see approach with Hunt. I'd rather not start him unless I have to.
Fair enough. Okay, let's go to the next guy on the list where you guys are a little different. It's Daryl Henderson of the Los Angeles Rams. Now, Pat, you've got him at RB26. So does ECR. Jacob, you've got him at 33. So, Pat, let's defend the honor of Henderson first, and then we can let Jacob have his rant about why he should be a little bit lower on the trough.
I can understand why Henderson investors would be nervous after Sean McVay sort of swerved us, 84% snap share for Henderson in week one. And then it was more of a 50-50 in week two, with Henderson getting 56%, Akers getting 44% of the offensive snaps. We don't know how this is going to work in week three. We don't know like what this looks like, but I do know that we want to be invested in this backfield in some way. Like, this is an offense that in Sean McVay's 5 years has finished top 11 in total yardage in each of those seasons. So the tectonic plates are still shifting beneath this backfield here. The ground's a little unstable. But that said, I mean, I like the matchup against the Cardinals. This is a bad defense, and maybe the pass defense is worse than the run defense, but this is a bad defense overall. I like the Rams in this matchup, and I do think they're going to at least get the chance to be, for a pretty run-friendly game script, I would say.
Now, Jacob, Pat was mentioning, you know, the difference week over week, but really, he had three less rushes. He had the same amount of rushing yards, 47. What disappeared were the targets, but what appeared was a touchdown. So we ended up with 11 half PPR points the week before, 10. He finishes RB16, though, last week. Is a good matchup against Arizona. So I guess I'll ask you this. Do you think your ranking may be a little too low on Henderson based on the potential scoring in this game against Arizona and that defense that has not been good so far?
I think it is a little too low. I would like to get him up into the low 20s range. He's at 33 right now. Because it is a good matchup. It's a good game script, good game environment. I'm projected for a ton of points, and Arizona has struggled offensively. But I am a little concerned by the usage that we saw last week. Basically, his usage in week two was what we've seen from Kareem Hunt, where he's running about 50% of the routes, playing about 50% of the snaps. But he saw 40% of the rushing attempts, RB rushing attempts, to 60% for Akers. And so if this is a game where they get up big on Arizona, it wouldn't shock me to see them lean on Akers a little bit more. So yeah, I'm a little bit kind of cautious, like with Kareem Hunt, but that's probably a little bit too low for him.
All right, let's do one more guy before we flip the script and find the guys that Jeremy really likes that Pat is sour on. So one more sweet Pat Fitzmaurice pick, and let's talk about Breece Hall of the New York Jets. You've got him at 31. Pat, consensus has him at 38. And Jacob, you've got him at 44. So let's talk about Breece Hall a little bit. The matchup this week against Cincinnati. Now, obviously, last week he had a whole extra carry than he had in week one. So we went from 6 to 7. And if you look at the scoring, though, he did double it because he did have the touchdown. Also, the receptions went from 6 receptions in week one down to 1 reception. So kind of all over the board in terms of usage. But Cincinnati so far has not gotten off onto the right foot. So what are your thoughts on Breece Hall this week and his potential, Pat?
Well, Breece Hall's snap share actually fell from week one to week two, only 27%. But I do wonder how much of that was game script, Joe. Like, we've seen the Jets have these weird games where obviously they were just, you know, boat raced in week one. And then in week two, they were playing from behind for most of the game. So those situations would favor Michael Carter. And, like, I know the Jets are going to flip the switch at some point here to Breece Hall. And I think, you know, Carter and Hall investors both know that it's coming. We just don't know when. And maybe all it takes is a game where the Jets have, you know, more of a neutral game script. I don't know if they get it this week against a desperate Bengals team or not, but like we've seen the talent with Hall, and he looked fabulous last week as a runner, I thought, with his 7 carries and 50 yards and his touchdown catch. But like, we don't know when this is going to happen, when the tide is going to turn. But I'm kind of cautious about reading too much into the usage so far, just based on these negative game scripts the Jets have had. You know, and I feel like the things are going to tilt toward Hall before long here.
Yeah, yesterday's podcast, actually, he was the number one RB buy low guy, looking ahead to the schedule and looking ahead to the potential. So, all right, let's go to you, Jacob, on Breece Hall. Do you think the Air Flacco offense is going to allow anything for Breece Hall this week?
See, I'm actually pretty worried about what we saw with Breece Hall last week. And the reason is they made it a 3-man committee. They got Ty Johnson involved.
They did.
If it would have been just him losing passing downs to Michael Carter in a negative game script, but it's still a 2-man, you know, split there, I wouldn't be as concerned. But Ty Johnson ran more routes than him. Breece Hall ran 7 routes. He only ran around on 15% of the Jets dropbacks, down from 42% week one. That's really concerning. Like, if we expect the Jets to be playing from behind, which they are 4.5-point underdogs here against Cincinnati, and it could be a lot larger than that if Cincinnati plays to their potential. If the routes are just not going to be there, like if they are playing behind, then like we could see again a 27% snap rate, and that's just going to be really, really hard to be viable in fantasy if he doesn't find the end zone.
It's a great point with the Ty Johnson in there too. He did get some work in there. And look, he was effective at times last year in moments as well. Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about Flex Fantasy. Do you love that team that you drafted? Of course you do, because you've been hanging out with us for the last 3 months, listening to the podcast, working on your rosters, and look at the team you drafted. You think it's great, don't you? Well, how good do you think it really is? Put it to the test. Don't limit yourself to competing against other people in your league. Unleash that glorious roster of yours on Flex Fantasy. Join now at Flex Fantasy through flex.fan/pros. Again, that link is flex.fan/pros. And create a head-to-head or best ball challenge with your already existing team. Create a challenge and earn flex bits to eliminate service fees. And once again, that's flex.fan/pros. Sign up today and prove how great that roster really is over at Flex Fantasy. And now, back to the action. Let's get to another running back here that we actually talked about last week. Seems like weekly, Pat Fitzmaurice is always fading Leonard Fournette. Now, he was right last week on the show, so I point that out. Pat Fitzmaurice nailed it, but let's talk about Jacob's ranking of him this week, because you've got him at RB5. Consensus has him at 15, which is also where Pat Fitzmaurice has. So why are you high on Fournette? Is it a matter of all the missing weapons and this game against the Green Bay Packers? Is that what it comes down to?
Yeah, that's a huge part of it. And really, Fournette projects as a top 5, top 8 running back for me on a week-to-week basis. He has one of the best roles in the NFL.
Sure.
I do worry that RB5 is a little bit too high, just because I wonder if his upside is capped by the overall game environment. I think it's a 41-point over-under. Really projected to be a pretty gross game here. But yeah, 81% snap rate on the year is third in the NFL. That's Fournette. And that's with a blowout in week one. He played 94% of the snaps. before being rested in the second half of that game. He also ran a route on 94% of Tampa Bay's dropbacks in week one before being rested. Finished the game with a 73% route involvement rate. That was the third highest at the running back position, 73%. It was 94% before the blowout. He has the second highest route involvement on the year behind only Saquon Barkley. Another really notable rate stat for Fournette is he's seen 63% of Tampa's red zone touches, which is the highest of any player in the NFL. And that's only going to go up in week three, right? With Mike Evans out, Chris Godwin probably out. It seems like it's all going to be funneled through Fournette. And if it is, the matchup is perfect. Green Bay has really struggled against the run. 26th in Football Outsiders adjusted defensive line yards in 2021. They're 25th so far in 2022. 28th in DVOA against the rush in 2021, down to 30th to start 2022. We've seen Dalvin Cook and Madison go off against them in week one, 126 yards on the ground. Last week, 160 yards on 19 carries for David Montgomery and Khalil Herbert. So the match was perfect. It seems like Tampa is just going to feed Fournette in this spot. RB5 is probably too high because I don't know how much touchdown upside there really is in this game, but I think RB10 is a lock, top 10.
All right. That's a really good argument here. Was the case made enough for you, Fitzmaurice, that you can move him into at least the RB1 discussion now?
I might have to tick him up a spot or so now that the Mike Evans suspension has been upheld, because they are probably going to lean on Fournette. And we've already seen him have more than 20 carries in each of the first 2 weeks. Yes, he's involved in the passing game, but he stinks as a pass catcher. He just does. He was under 5 yards per target last year. So far, he's been targeted 6 times and it's resulted in 19 yards. Like, Fournette's just not good in that area. And so I'm also really worried about this hamstring strain. Like, I feel like the Bucs have been playing with fire here, giving him this sort of workload and these snap counts. 76%.
What a shock, Pat, an old team having a bunch of injuries. Who can see that coming, honestly?
Yeah, really, all these older skill position players. And the only
I had to stretch for like 40 minutes just before the show. I mean, it's a lot. You know, people don't realize.
And yet Brady is in perfect health as far as we know. So, but yeah, these big snap shares and big rushing loads for Fournette playing in a bad hamstring. Like, I always feel like there's the chance that he could aggravate that hamstring and need to leave the game. That's a bit of a concern. But look, I mean, if I rank him running back 15, I'm still telling you to start the guy, right? It's just that maybe I don't have wild expectations for him as a pass catcher or as a touchdown scorer. I'm just a little cautious here after seeing kind of the running game get bogged down. Yeah, the Green Bay run defense has not been good so far this year. I think they have the personnel to actually be better than they've shown statistically. But yeah, it hasn't been good. Still, I don't know. I just, like, I'm not feeling great about Fournette for this week.
All right. We'll see if you're right 2 weeks in a row. We shall find out. Now, somebody that I am pretty good about, I feel pretty good about this week, is Dameon Pierce. Matchup against the Bears is fascinating because the Bears are the worst team so far against the run. They've just been an absolute sieve so far. Jacob, you've got him ranked at 25. ECR's got him at 30. Pat, you've got him at 33. Now, I'm kind of where you are here on Dameon Pierce, where I'm going to take advantage of this matchup and see if this is the beginning of the party. Last week, he was one of my favorite buy low targets because I thought it would be a bad week for him last week. And then hopefully this matchup was the one I was waiting for. And then the subsequent matchups he's got ahead of him coming up, where maybe we start to see a better version of Dameon Pierce. So is this the beginning of the turnaround for you as well?
I think it definitely could be. I mean, Pierce, it wouldn't surprise me at all if he finishes like a top 8, top 12 running back this week if Chicago's offense struggles and it's just a lot of, you know, the ground game for Houston. So I mentioned Fournette has seen 63% of Tampa's total touches in the red zone, which is the highest in the NFL. And I just tweeted this out, tweeted the leaderboard. Dameon Pierce is second, 60%, which is shocking given his usage in week one. But on the year, he has the second highest percentage of his team's total red zone touches. And I think that could be something that we see aplenty in this matchup. Snap rate up to 63% in week two, up from 28%. And then he saw 100% of the running back rushes in week two, which is something that really is pretty rare at the running back position. So game script, everything, matchup, it looks good here. And the rates that we saw last week are really encouraging. I don't know if we can trust it quite yet. You know, it's only his third professional game, but on paper, this is a really exciting spot.
All right. On paper, certainly the numbers will tell you this guy's a start this week. You've got him as almost like a fringy flex play, though, Fitz. So talk to me about your trepidation about starting Pierce this week.
Yeah, it's pretty simple. Just that the Texans' offense is bad, even though the matchup is good. You know, maybe the Bears get the Texans over and get them to score more than 20 points. It's entirely possible. And the fact that Pierce has only seen two targets. So there's limited upside in the passing game. Whatever he does, he's going to have to do for you on the ground, mm-hmm. most likely. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, but like the arrow is pointing up. Like that week one usage was so frustrating. And I know all right. the people who went out over their skis to draft Damian Pierce in the fourth, fifth, sixth round were immensely frustrated to see Rex Burkhead, like, you know, play that many more snaps than Pierce. But then we got something more befitting of Pierce's talent in week two, and hopefully we continue to see that.
All right, let's try one more running back here. Let's go with Raheem Mostert of the Miami Dolphins. His usage ticked up in week two, so let's see if it carries over in week three. Jacobs got him over at RB26. ECR, very low, 41. Pat, you're giving a little bit more respect at 39. So, Jacob, you see him almost as a fringy RB2 this week, even though the matchup is against the Bills. Why is that?
He's looked great. He's looked much better than Chase Edmonds. I like Chase Edmonds, but Raheem Mostert has the third highest avoided tackle rate in the NFL. Only Aaron Jones and Nick Chubb have avoided tackles at a higher rate. Chase Edmonds ranks 37th among 44 players. And we saw in week two, he was rewarded for that. He was the starting running back. He played 57% of the snaps and handled 69% of the running back rushing attempts. Also, he ran a route on 47% of Miami's dropbacks, which is pretty good. I really didn't expect with Chase Edmonds there that we could see Mostert above like 40 or 45%. So that's exciting. And it's a decent spot. I worry a little bit that Miami's offense maybe isn't what we've seen so far. And if they get down early, then the game script could be a problem for Mostert. But there's tons of upside here.
All right. Do you see any upside here for Mostert? Because right now, Fitz, you're looking at more like he's a deep league play from your ranking.
Yeah, I'm just worried that it's a split backfield. And even though Jacob pointed out the encouraging passing game trend with Mostert, like that's kind of runs counter to what we've seen from him in his career. He just really hasn't been that involved in the passing game. I'm curious, Jacob, like I'm still kind of being a mincing Frady cat with this backfield and basically ranking Mostert and Edmonds right next to each other. Where do you have Edmonds this week?
I have Edmonds at 37th, and I wonder if that's an overreaction. I think I'm going to not assume that the rushing share split that we saw last week is going to stick, and probably move these two a little bit closer to each other, especially with the game script. Because if they do fall behind, I wouldn't be surprised if we see Edmonds play 60% of the snaps and handle 45-50% of the rushing attempts.
Yeah, and Joe, the other thing I'm a little bit concerned about here is just the Buffalo defense. You know, going into the teeth of this defense, I don't know what the status of Ed Oliver is, but like this defense has been great against the run, even without Oliver. That's the crazy thing. This Bills defense has looked so nasty with no Tre'Davious White and no Ed Oliver.
And scary.
Like, well, they're also going to be down another corner too after that scary injury that we
right,
saw.
Right, right. But they are giving up fewer than 10 fantasy points a game to opposing running backs right now. So I don't really want to try anyone from a split, hard to predict backfield against a defense like that.
Well, they're just the most complete team in football. I mean, going into the year, if you didn't think they were, I don't know what roster you were looking at. I mean, they've proved it so far. They really have. So this will be fun because I mean, can the narrative continue of Mike McDaniel slaying all these giants, Belichick in week one, Harbaugh in week two? Is he gonna take down Josh Allen, the Bills in week three? Could you imagine that? Coach of the year, book it right now. What's the wager on it? If you are also, by the way, if you're listening to the podcast, remember you can always watch the podcast as well over on our YouTube channel over at youtube.com/fantasypros. Subscribe today, obviously, because not only do we have all of the amazing podcasts on here, but we've also got all the live streams too. We've got a live stream every Tuesday with D-Bro and myself talking about waiver wire, taking your questions at 12:30 Eastern on Thursdays at 12:30 Eastern. Andrew Erickson and I are going to break down all the start sits for you. Sunday mornings, we go 90 minutes live to answer your questions. So it's another amazing platform in the YouTube channel is the live streams, not to mention all the short videos and other content we have there. So if you haven't already, subscribe to our Fantasy Pros YouTube channel. Again, that's youtube.com/fantasypros.
Wide receiver rankings.
Let's go to the wide receivers and we'll go back and flip the script again to guys Pat likes, and he likes Rashad Bateman. And so do I was super impressed with the outing last week. Lots of yards after the catch for Rashad Bateman in that game. Unfortunately, it didn't go the way the Baltimore Ravens they were hoping. You've got him at wide receiver 20. Jacob's got him at 27. ECR is where you are, though, Pat, at 21. So let's talk about Rashad Bateman, because I got to say, you know, first 2 weeks, some tough matchups, but he has really shown already in this short time in the early going.
Yeah, I mean, the numbers are obviously great so far, skewed largely by that long touchdown catch and run last week, but only 12 targets so far. But again, I think that might be the product of some wonky game scripts for the Ravens, where they were just destroying the Jets in week one and then, you know, leading for much of the game this past week. Well, yeah, I mean, they were leading early against Miami. So I think maybe that has tamped down the targets a bit for Bateman. We know it's a very polarized target tree in Baltimore with Mark Andrews and Bateman, maybe a little Devin Duvernay sprinkled in, and that's really about it. So if we get a, you know, more of a pass-friendly game script for the Ravens, I think we could see a double-digit target total for Bateman. And, you know, of course, Joe, you and I have that pro Bateman bias. Like, we're on this guy. We like him.
The New England secondary ain't what she used to be. Let's be honest.
Exactly. It's not an easy matchup, but nor is it a skull and crossbones matchup by any means.
Agreed. I've actually even got him higher than you. I've got him at 16 right now. So we'll see. I mean, it's also, there's some weird matchups on the board this week and some weird health issues too. I think I'm waiting for some of the health issues to flush out with some of these rankings too. Let's talk about your view of Bateman. You know, Pat did mention, you know, a big bulk of the yards came out of that one big play, but hey, playmakers make big plays. That's why you want them in your lineup. Look, you still got him as a starting guy at 27, but why are you closer to, say, wide receiver 3 than wide receiver 2 on Bateman this week?
Yeah, with all three of the guys that Pat likes here, I just wanted to note that, like, they're awesome players. I really like these guys. It's just the volume projection thing. Bateman has been absurdly efficient. He's averaged 3.6 yards per route run, which is way, way above like the highest in the NFL last year. He scored 2 touchdowns, and that has really helped his fantasy production. And he's really good, so he could continue to be efficient. But I am a little bit worried about what we've seen. His route involvement rate is 72%. And so the percentage of Baltimore's dropbacks he ran around on is only 72%. That's pretty low. Most of the time for a top, you know, 24 receiver, it's going to be 85% or higher. I'm also a little bit worried about the matchup. The Patriots are one of two teams, Patriots and the Bills, that you just really don't throw deep against. They have the second lowest completion percentage and passer rating allowed on passes of 15 plus air yards since the start of 2021. The Bills are the best, and there's a wide gap between them and New England, and then there's another wide gap between New England and third place and the rest of the NFL. And so those are the type of routes that Bateman runs. That's why he's been able to pile up these air yards, is he's running deep downfield, 9-yard average route depth, 16.1-yard average depth of target. So I don't love the spot for him. I do love the talent. And I think going forward, he's going to be ranked a lot higher than this.
Okay. Good argument there. Let's go to the next guy on the list. Another guy who was on our show yesterday, Brandon Ayuk. Pat's got him at wide receiver 26. Now Garoppolo under center. ECR's got him at 30. Jacob's got him at 36. So ECR is right in between you guys. So there's a meeting of the minds there at least, but certainly a chasm, 10 spots different. So let's talk about Brandon Ayuk with Jimmy Garoppolo. It's not like we haven't seen those two work before. Usually it just happens in the latter part of the season from what we've seen in the last couple of years. But let's talk about it. Why this week do you think this is a good matchup for Brandon Ayuk?
Well, trust me, Joe, it's not that tied to the quarterback change. Apparently some people think that, you know, with Jimmy Garoppolo out for a while and Trey Lance, they didn't like Trey Lance. And now apparently people are treating like Jimmy Garoppolo as if he were Joe Montana. I don't think Jimmy Garoppolo is even an average starting quarterback, but I do have to concede that he's probably going to be a little bit better for Ayuk than Trey Lance would have been. And last week we saw Ayuk get 8 targets, 5 catches, 63 yards. And we can throw the week one results out the window because that was played in that Chicago monsoon. You know, the passing game was just pretty much eliminated from that game entirely. So, like, you've got, again, a polarized target tree here. You know, you've got, if Kittle is back, he's going to be in on it. But then it's basically just Deebo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk. And, like, maybe in this matchup against Denver, where we've got a very even game based on the point spread, like, maybe we see a very competitive game where San Francisco can't go run heavy. Now they're down another running back with Tyrion Davis Price out, so perhaps they have to throw a little bit more than they like to. And statistically right now, Denver is one of the top teams against the pass. Throw the stats out the window. They have played against Geno Smith and Davis Mills in the first 2 weeks. So whatever the numbers say about the Denver pass defense, like, don't believe it. We don't know anything about their pass defense yet.
So Jacob, has Pat made a good argument here to maybe bump Ayuk up with that? Look, we don't really know who the Denver defense is yet because they really haven't played anybody of note.
Yeah, I do like the argument. And I think bringing up the point that San Francisco might be a little bit more pass heavy is interesting as well, because they really have not shown any desire to let Jordan Mason play. He's been on the active roster both weeks. He's played 13 snaps. They've all come on special teams when there was an injury in week one to
Eli Mitchell.
I'm totally blank on Eli Mitchell. Gosh,
it's okay. This is already what gone and forgotten. It might as well be week 12 for all of us here. Once we're in it, that's it. We're all here just helping hands. That's what we do.
Thank you. When Eli Mitchell went down, it was all Jeff Wilson and Debo. And so I wouldn't be surprised if they pass a little more. And I'm really interested to see where Ayuk comes out in my projections when I just increase their pass rate just a little bit, because he came out of wide receiver 40. I've got him at 34 now, just because he is a stud, and this is, I think, a winnable matchup for him. What I would say on Ayuk is he's running a really high, a really deep route tree. His average depth is 11.1 yards. Only Elijah Moore and Chris Olave have a higher rate than Brandon Ayuk. So he's running really, really deep routes, and it's not a great fit with Jimmy Garoppolo necessarily. So his average route depth during his rookie breakout was 8.5 yards last year. In his down year, it was all the way up to 10.1. It's all the way up to 11.1 this year. And so I'll just real quick on Garoppolo. Ayuk has been targeted on 14% of his career routes that have developed 10 or more yards downfield with Garoppolo at quarterback. That's 25% below the league average at the wide receiver position on those types of routes. On routes developing fewer than 10 yards downfield with Garoppolo at quarterback, he has a 30% target per route run rate, which is 10% above the league average, which is, I thought, it surprised me because Ayuk is such a, you know, dominant downfield guy, but it's just a quarterback thing. And so I'm really kind of taking a wait and see approach with Ayuk. The volume was great last week, but I am a little bit worried about his projection going forward.
Fair enough. Some very good arguments on the other side for Brandon Ayuk. We'll do one more of Pat's guys. Devonta Smith, wide receiver 30 in Pat's rankings. ECR's got him at 43. Jacob likes him a little more than that, wide receiver 40, but still 10 plus difference between you and the ECR. So what did you see out of Smith this past week, or what do you see in the matchup coming up here where you are bullish about him this week more than the ECR, Pat?
Well, it's really encouraging what we saw from him in week two after his shutout in week one. 7 for 80, no touchdowns, but caught all 7 of his targets against the Vikings. And he probably could have had an even bigger game had the Eagles not led so comfortably and been able to call a pretty conservative game plan for most of the second half. I love the creative usage we saw with Devonta Smith in week
Agreed.
Two. Yeah. Empty backfields. With Devonta Smith lined up in the slot, and they were getting him matched up against Minnesota linebackers. And of course, he was just taking Minnesota linebackers to school in that game. So I would love to see them do more of that against Washington, whose defense has been in disarray pretty much throughout the first 2 weeks of the season. Just not a good defense at all. So I do like this matchup a lot. And, you know, like this Philly offense is just firing on all cylinders. So
Philly team is. I mean, the Philly team is good. Yeah. Let's be honest. It's a good football team.
You never know who is going to get, like, maybe it's another 170-yard, you know, smash game for A.J. Brown. You know, maybe it's a game where the running backs combine for 150 yards. You don't know. But, like, I am happy to bet on Devonta Smith, and I want to err on the side of getting him into my lineup if anyone is on the fence about whether they can squeeze him in as a third wideout or a flex. Like, yes, you should get Devonta in your lineup.
I'm glad you mentioned about the usage, the way they used him in that game. I agree, it was very clever, and if they're going to keep doing stuff like that, that's very good for his fantasy value. And I'm sure a lot of people had him on their bench after overreacting to week one. For you, Jacob, though, does Devonta Smith have the same flex appeal that Pat's talking about?
Yeah, I'm glad that you brought up the usage, because I just went and looked real quick, and they did use him in pre-snap motion a lot more often in week two than in week one, which is interesting. Those snaps went to Quez Watkins and AJ Brown a little bit more, but Devonta had more pre-snap motion use than anyone on the Eagles. I really like him in this matchup. I think there's a ton of upside. Another encouraging sign from week two was the first down target. So this is something I have referenced quite a bit of the last couple of years. First down targets are worth 20% more PPR points than targets coming on all of the downs. And they also just indicate that the team is trying to be intentional about getting the player the ball. And so in week one, AJ Brown had the, I believe, second highest first down target share of any player in the NFL. It was like 60% or something absurd. Basically, we saw AJ Brown, Devontae Adams, and Tyreek Hill, the three, you know, new guys in their offense, really be fed those targets. That dropped off. That really balanced out. In week two, we saw a much more even split between AJ Brown and Devontae and Dallas Goedert. And so that is good. This is really a breath of fresh air, what we saw in week two for Devontae, because he's so freaking good. But if AJ is just going to come in and completely dominate the targets, then there's just not maybe enough volume for him in a pretty run-heavy offense, or potentially. But yeah, what we saw this week was really exciting. The matchup is great. I think Pat's right. I think I need to move him up.
Let's take a quick break in the action and say about Pristine Auction. Pristine Auction is the most trusted sports memorabilia auction site with an A+ Better Business Bureau rating and auctions at pristineauction.com. Start at just $1 and each day there are over 1,000 autographed items available so you can win signed, authentic, signatured items at affordable prices. And just last week, an autographed Justin Herbert jersey sold for $110. What? Deals like this are happening all the time at Pristine Auction, and they have just about every player you could want, including Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, and many more. Every item on Pristine Auction comes with a certification of authenticity from the industry's most reputable authenticators, and you can upgrade your collection of signed memorabilia today and get $10 off your first item when you use that promo code FANTASY. That's one word, FANTASY. Be sure to sign up now at pristineauction.com/register. That's pristineauction.com/register and use the promo code FANTASY, because deals like this are happening every single day. Once again, that's promo code FANTASY for $10 off your first piece of signed memorabilia at pristineauction.com/register. And now back to the action. Now let's flip around and look at the guys that Jacob likes more than Pat. And I gotta tell you, I'm where Jacob is in my rankings. You've got Drake London at wide receiver 16. I've got him at 18. So you and I are seeing eye to eye right now. ECR's at 24. Pat's at 31. So let's talk about Drake London in this matchup against Seattle, because this feels like a really good one here for Drake London in terms of floor and maybe ceiling too, Jacob.
Yeah, it is a good matchup. And I'm mostly betting on the player here, honestly. The matchup is not a huge factor here. I just want to be early on Drake London. Drake London, everything we've seen, it is a bit speculative, but everything we've seen points towards him potentially being like a complete superstar. So he's behind Amon-Ra St. Brown and Michael Pittman for the first 2 years of his USC career. And we've seen those guys, you know, be studs at the NFL level. In his third year, he drew targets at the second highest per route rate of any wide receiver of the past five seasons at the college football level. And through two games in the NFL, he's fifth in the NFL in targets per route run. It goes Stephon Diggs, Tyreek Hill, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Jalen Waddle, Cooper Kupp, and then Drake London. He's third in the NFL in yards per route run, and he's faced the Saints and the Rams. And now he's going to the Seahawks. Like, I think this guy's a stud. I think wide receiver 16 might be low as we go on if these rates sustain.
Yeah, and I love him in DFS this week, especially on DK where the full PPR is. Spoiler alert, on the Friday stream at 2 p.m. Eastern of DFS, D-Bro and I guarantee you is going to be a lot of Drake London love. So he's going to be probably the lock of the week at that price. Pat, you know, you've heard us speak glowingly about Drake London in this matchup there. Do you think it might be time to move him up, or is there something that we're missing that you're concerned with?
So I've already moved him up to wide receiver 28, and I might have to move him up higher after, you know, hearing you and Jacob wax eloquently about the talents of Drake London. I mean, I love this guy, too. I have no issues with the player whatsoever. You know, my only words of caution would be one, that he is Marcus Mariota as his quarterback.
Caveat. It's a great word of caution. Believe
caveat
me, you know how hard it is for me to move him up with that caveat? It was very hard.
Yes.
It's not an easy thing.
Yes. Let the buyer beware. And the other one is, I do wonder if we get a squeaky wheel game for Kyle Pitts.
Yes.
Not that Kyle Pitts has been complaining about his usage, but his fantasy managers have certainly been complaining about his usage. Do we see one of those games where maybe Pitts is peppered with a lot of targets? But then again, Arthur Smith has shown no inclination to use Smith creatively, or Pitts creatively whatsoever. So maybe we don't get that and we just get another double-digit London target game. But yeah, I love London. I do have to move him up some.
I'm a little worried about Pitts, man. Another week like this, the wheel becomes a square. Like, I don't even know what to say. Forget squeaky wheel. I don't even know what to do here. We get more questions about Kyle Pitts maybe than anybody else in the last, I would say, 72 hours. But rightfully so. Maybe, just maybe, you know, we'll get a little bit of a correction here. And look, there's room for it anyways. Room for both guys against Seattle. Let's be honest. Curtis Samuel. Boy, oh boy. Am I glad I picked up this guy week one. Wide receiver 21 in Mr. Gibbs rankings, 27 in the ECR, 37 for Mr. Fitzmaurice, though. So let's put some respect on the name of Curtis Samuel here, Mr. Gibbs. Let's go.
Yeah, here's a crazy stat I found the other day. Curtis Samuel has a higher target and yard per route run rate than Terry McLaurin since the start of 2020, which I really would not have expected. Terry McLaurin is a stud. I will say Terry McLaurin's per route rates are a little bit affected by playing through injury, which he's done several times in his career. But still, this is more about Curtis Samuel. He's been really, really good when he's been on the field, and we've got him now healthy. I don't know about like his rest of season outlook, but right now he's healthy, and he's drawing targets like crazy. He has 20 targets through two games, and he should see really heavy volume again in week three in this matchup against the Eagles. The Eagles play a ton of zone. They really keep everything in front of them. They have the, like, by far the lowest opponent average depth of target since the start of 2021. I think it's like 6 yards or something. That fits perfectly with Curtis Samuel. Washington has had really clearly defined roles. They've had Curtis Samuel running extremely short routes. Let me find it real quick. Curtis Samuel, average route depth is 3.1 yards. Logan Thomas is 7.5, and then Terry McLaurin at 10 and Jahan Dotson at 11. And we've seen the correlation is directly there with how high those guys are being targeted. Samuel being targeted on 24% of his routes, 20% for Logan Thomas, only 14% for McLaurin, and only 11% of his routes has he been targeted, Jahan Dotson. And so in a matchup against a team that keeps everything in front and forces short passing, it just makes sense that, again, I think eventually we're going to see this even out. But in this week, it makes sense, again, that Curtis Samuel is probably going to be leaned on heavily.
All right. Over two games, Pat, he's got 38 rushing yards. He's also got 15 receptions on 20 targets and 133 receiving yards and two touchdowns. So, I understand it's Curtis Samuel. It's not a guy that we thought going in. We thought, okay, maybe an interesting guy at some point as a streamer. But the first 2 weeks have been glorious. The matchups were good, though. Detroit and Jacksonville, theoretically, too. But do you think maybe you've got him a little too low this week?
Yeah, I mean, Scott Turner is like a you know, kid getting his first Swiss Army knife, like just loves doing things with Curtis Samuel. 20 targets, you mentioned it, 5 carries. Like, he loves using this guy. To me, the wild card that is like makes me hesitate a little bit here is just the target distribution. I do agree with Jacob that the way the Eagles play, you know, and the likelihood that Terry McLaurin is probably going to be in, you know, Darius Slay's area quite a bit this week. It does make me think that things could line up really well for Curtis Samuel again. But, like, we've seen these turbocharged game scripts for Washington so far. Like, Carson Wentz has thrown 41 and 46 passes the first two games. Like, that party can't go on forever. I guess that's the reason I'm pulling back a little. You know, just that our target or our pass attempt expectation for Carson Wentz has to be a little lower than what we've seen so far. And he's got three receivers to throw it to, plus a pretty good tight end in Logan Thomas, plus a couple of running backs who can catch passes. So, like, I just don't know if we're going to be seeing double digit targets for Samuel that often. And he has an average depth of target for of 3.3 yards. So, like, they're not going to be super valuable targets. Like, he can do a lot after the catch, of course, but it's not like, you know, he doesn't have the big playability of, like, a Tyreek Hill or something like that. So he's going to need a lot of targets to get over.
One more wide receiver on the list, Treylon Burks of the Tennessee Titans. Jacob Gibbs has him at wide receiver 31. ECR is at 51. Pat's at 47. So ECR is not loving Treylon Burks. But I feel like I'm closer to where Jacob is. I feel like it's trending in the right direction, but this is still a jump here all the way at 31. So talk to me about this jump that you have Treylon Burks making in week three.
Yeah, so we got super, super excited about the per route rates for Drake London. You know who has even better per route rates is Treylon Burks.
Treylon Burks, yeah, you're
he's
right.
He's been targeted on 37% of his routes. That's the highest among NFL players who have at least 30 routes run. Obviously, that's a super small sample size. But really, Burks and London, there's a ton of parallels between these two guys. At the collegiate level, they were both just kind of pigeonholed into a short yardage slot role. We finally saw Drake London freed from that in year three, and he went nuts. Treylon Burks never really was. He was kind of stuck in that role his whole career. But I dug into it this summer. all of the data that we have when he was outside of that role, when he was allowed to run downfield routes, is really, really good. It's a small sample size, but he was extremely efficient. And that's the role that he's playing here. He's playing the A.J. Brown role. And so far, it's only basically been a game and a half of worth of snaps, but he's been extremely good in it. He only ran a route on 38% of Tennessee's dropbacks in week one. That increased to 73% in week two. And his target rate didn't drop off with the increase in playing time. He had 32% target share. So he already is running more routes than Robert Woods. Before the game got out of hand last week, he had more routes than Robert Woods. He led the team in routes run. He's clearly their most explosive pass catcher. And he's, you know, he's flashing wide receiver one treatment already. So like week three could definitely be the week that he's fully unleashed. And the game script is decent here, pretty decent game environment overall, under and everything. So yeah, I think that 51 wide receiver 51 ECR is going to come way up before the week's over.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's trending. I've got him in the 40s already myself. Pat, for you, when you're looking at Treylon Burks, look, the matchup against Vegas certainly lends itself, even if there is a massive overcorrection in terms of Derrick Henry's usage and we give him the ball 25 times. Is there enough here for Treylon Burks to fill that A.J. Brown, like, efficient wide receiver role? And look, I mean, if you look at what he's done even last week, if you throw a touchdown on top there, we're talking about, you know, double-digit PPR points here easily.
Yeah, I agree with so much of what Jacob said. I mean, it's exciting that he has shown the ability to draw targets on such a high percentage of his routes. And the fact that, I don't know. I mean, here's another thing. Like, people were worried about his speed after the combine. Like, he ran a crossing route in that Monday night game, like, early on where he caught it. And, like, I didn't see the number right away when he caught it. I'm like, wow, who is that?
Who's that?
Really,
yeah.
Really fast dude. Yeah. And it was
Game
Burks.
Speed is different, man.
Game speed is a lot. Like, he looks plenty fast. And I think, you know, he pretty much is the wide receiver one already. Like, Robert Woods just isn't that guy. He's a possession guy. I think Burks is going to be the dude here. I'm a little worried about this offense overall, although I love the matchup with the Raiders. Losing Taylor Lewan isn't going to help either. You know, now that he could be out for the season. So,
he's been looking like for a year now, like a shell of himself anyway. So I agree. You don't want to lose the leadership, but I wonder if maybe just getting somebody who's healthier and maybe younger might be in some way, maybe a small bonus. I don't know.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, I don't really have too many nits to pick with Treylon Burks at all. I love him. I've got him on a lot of teams. It's just a matter of what this offense can do right now. In the passing game. So I'm excited for sure that I'm probably going to move him up before Sunday.
Rankings Throwdown.
All right, let's see if you guys can pick on these guys. I found a couple guys that I'm higher on than the ECR, and I want to know what you guys think. So let's get to the Rankings Throwdown, and I want to start with Tony Pollard. I've got him at RB28. ECR, not so much. ECR has got him at 38, a 10 spot difference. I thought that was a little surprising, all things considered. I know it's very difficult to buy into Cooper Rush, but Pat, when we're looking at ranking this week, obviously Ezekiel Elliott's turning into a ghost, it feels like, right around the time we're getting, you know, into fall and Halloween. So tell me about Tony Pollard. Do you think I have it right, or do you think the ECR has it right?
I think I've got him at running back 35, Joe. So I can't get quite as enthusiastic about him with the reduced touchdown expectations, with Cooper Rush at quarterback.
That's even with Schultz potentially out of this game too.
Yeah. I mean, that could work in his favor. You know, although he's still going to get a minority share of snaps with, you know, Ezekiel Elliott in there.
All right. Well, 7 targets last week. 9 rushes produced 16 points there in the standard league, and in half PPR 18. He finishes RB3 in half PPR last week. So, Jacob, what do you think? Are you closer to me or closer to ECR when it comes to Tony Pollard?
Yeah, I've got him at running back 38. Sorry.
Sell anybody on Tony Pollard. You watch.
He did draw 7 targets. That came on just 12 routes run. He only ran 12 routes on 32 dropbacks. That's not what you want to see for Tony Pollard. And like, there are reasons to get him on the field. He's drawing targets when he's out there. Dalton Schultz might miss, but they're not doing it. And this has kind of been the thing, is like, they talk about getting him in this role and they don't do it. I've got a tough time ranking him higher than this.
All right. Let's talk about Alan Lazard. I've got him at wide receiver 27 right now. ECR's got him at 46. Now, I'm of the mind, they just didn't have to push him that much last week. This was one of those games where you have it in tow and you just say, okay, we're good. We're fine. We're just going to grind it out. It's the Bears. And then we're on to Tampa next week. That's how I see this. But how do you see this grouping here? Do you think Lazard just kind of, you know, got an easy game there, got his feet wet after the injury? Or do you think that, you know, maybe just maybe this is actually a guy you should be more worried about? Because it seems like ECR is.
For me, Joe, like, I'm sorry, this is the beat up on Joe Pisapia segment, apparently. But
next like, week when we come back here, remember, I keep the receipt. I've got it. It's like a CVS receipt. It's very long. I mean, keep them all. Come on, let's go.
Yeah, so, and I'm at odds with some of my fellow Packers fans on this one, but I kind of think Allen Robinson is just a guy, and I think this
is going to
be...
Well, Allen Robinson is, but I want to know about Allen.
Oh, Allen Lazard, sorry. I misspoke.
Anyone Allen... named Allen, you're just not into.
Yeah, when you spell Allen the wrong way, you're
just a guy. Is he
just a guy,
but is he the only guy? Let's be honest, Pat.
No, I mean, I think it's, Joe, I think, like, we're probably going to see, like, four Packers receivers finish with somewhere from, like, 750 to 550 yards. It's just going to be one of those, like, every week it's going to be someone different, and I don't really think Lazard is going to carve out a clear role as the Packers number one.
All right, Jacob, go ahead, pile on, let's go.
I am low on Lazard, but I will say, to kind of Pat's point, he did look like the clear wide receiver one in terms of at least routes run last week, which I thought was really encouraging in his first game back. It only resulted in three targets. I don't love the matchup against Tampa Bay. They've got physical corners that I don't think he matches up particularly well against. They don't allow deep passing. So I'm not really into the matchup this week. I'm continuing to take a wait and see because we haven't seen him be targeted at a high rate. But just in terms of like getting on the field and running routes, he was clearly the one. And then it was followed by Sammy Watkins. Romeo Dubs was next. I think, where did you say you had him? 27?
27, I've got him. Well, look, he's in that grouping right now where it's guys like Allen Robinson, DJ Moore, who's done nothing, where I don't know where we're at. It's guys like Ayuk that I think are a bit of a coin flip right now. That, to me, is the grouping where I'm looking at this game and saying, all right, if you're not going to try to run the ball all day against that Tampa Bay front. I mean, they are very strong up front. You got to take some shots. And I feel like Aaron Rodgers is going to, and I feel like Lazard is the guy who's going to want to do it because of the routes running. Because like I said, the guy was out week one. I didn't expect much. I just expected him to show up and run some routes and be on the field. And he was. So I'm, I guess, more enthusiastic about him being a wide receiver three this week. Somebody could roll out there. Whereas ECR and everybody else thinks I'm crazy, which is fine. I'm used to that. Let's go talk about Greg Dortch. Can we please? I've got him right now. I think I might've adjusted this a little bit recently, but it's still pretty high. I've got him at 37 in my rankings. ECR has got him at wide receiver 63. I guess they just don't care about Greg Dortch, but I do, damn it. So let's start with you, Mr. Gibbs, on this one. Jacob, talk to me about Dortch here. Do you think I'm crazy? Do you think that I'm looking at this and saying to myself, look, the guy's producing out of the slot. You want those slot targets, don't you?
Yeah, no, I've been higher on Dortch than consensus the past few weeks. I think the role that he's playing with Rondale Moore out is more fantasy friendly than people realize. I think people are starting to realize that a little bit. How high did you say you had him? Top 40?
37. Yeah, right on that. Now, look, in all fairness aside, like just to be careful, I haven't put Pitts, Keenan out. Like I'm waiting for all the injury things. He could end up bumping into the low 40s here, but 63 I thought was kind of absurd here.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, I thought it was a close to an ideal matchup for him last week, and I had him ranked at 44. I think that's about where he caps
that's
out for
ceiling.
Me. Yeah. This week it looks like I'm a little bit lower on him. I've got him at 55 currently. Don't love the matchup. I think it wouldn't be surprising if Arizona really just struggled again here to move the ball at all. But even if that does happen, he's still on the field running a lot of routes. So he could still pile up the targets.
Sure. In the PPR leagues, I like him. Pat, why don't you like Greg Dortch? Go ahead.
Yeah. It's one of those things where maybe like he's a junior version of Jacoby Myers, where he might catch a lot of balls, but like it's not going to be high impact receptions. It's going to be, you know, a low yards per catch, probably a pretty low touchdown expectation, you know, given like a 1 in 5 chance at best of scoring a touchdown. That's kind of it. Just that there's maybe you get a floor with Dortch, but I don't know what kind of ceiling you get.
All right. Fair enough. I'm going to lick my wounds and come back for next week and see how Tony Pollard and Allen Lazard do. We shall see.
Let's dig into the listener mailbag.
Let's hit the mailbag before we get out of here. This is a great question. Once again, we pull these questions straight from our Discord. I was on there yesterday. talking to people about the we did the complaint desk yesterday on Tuesdays where people complain about the things that went wrong. We talk about trades, we talk about waiver wire moves, and of course we've got a lot of great stages and AMA channels and all these things, but that's for our premium users. It's free to join. Make sure you use that premium code over at fantasypros.com/offers, make a deposit, and then you can go and upgrade yourself a little bit. This question is from Amon the Great 82. Trade away Pitts for Lamb. I think this would be something you would like to do right now. Pat Fitzmaurice, do you think this is something you can do, should do, will do?
Man, I just, you're not going to force me to give up on Pitts just yet, Joe.
I'm giving you CeeDee Lamb. I'm not giving you just, you know.
You are, but you're giving me
Terry McLaurin here.
Yeah, you're giving me a very limited CeeDee Lamb for the next, 6 weeks or however long Dak is going to be out. So I'd rather let it ride in bed. Look how bleak the tight end position is, man. And part of it is that Pitts hasn't fired yet, but
or Kittle. I mean, Kittle hasn't played.
Yeah, Kittle hasn't
been bad.
Right? Maybe it'll be better with him. But Amon-Ra St. Brown has just relegated Hockenson to the dustbin. Cole Kmet still looking for his first catch. It's such a bad position.
Well, that being said, if it's that bad, Pat, is this a thing where you're just going to stink like everybody else that doesn't have Kelce and Andrews, just kind of, go pick up Logan Thomas or Everett and go make this trade and improve your wide receiving core?
No, man. We were worried about Pitts early last year too. This guy's going to, it's going to happen for him. He's just too good for it not to happen for him. So I'm going to ride with Pitts.
Fitz is a man of faith when it comes to Pitts. How about you? Jeremy, Jacob, what are you going to do here on this? It's funny. I have a friend named Jeremy Gibbs, and all the entire podcast, I was so proud of myself that I didn't call you Jeremy. And of course, at the last question, I called you Jeremy. So I'm the worst ever. Jacob, my apologies. What are you doing here? Pitts or Lamb? What side of this trade do you want to be on?
I fall with Pat that I'm a huge Pitts guy and I want to believe in him, but I think that you could make this trade. The underlying data on Pitts is encouraging, but we could say the same thing for Lamb. And I think there's more potential upside as year goes on when Dak gets back, that if these rates sustain, that Lamb could be really an impact wide receiver, top five, top eight type of fantasy wide receiver. He's been 31% target share, 39% air yardage share. And this has been the problem for Lamb his whole career, even at the collegiate level, is he never has been able to truly demand dominant receiving volume. He's always been absurdly efficient. He's just never really been the guy like we see him so far. It's only two games. There's no one else to throw to. So these rates could definitely be inflated. Yeah. But if they sustain and Dak comes back, it's a pretty high ceiling for Lamb. And I think this might be the lowest his value is going to be all year.
See, I look at it as at some point Dak is coming back. And at some point Marcus Mariota is still there or Desmond Ridder is there. And I just don't know what those things look like. I know what Lamb looks like potentially with Dak, and I think what the ceiling is there is more exciting, that despite the fact you get that theoretical advantage at tight end right now. I mean, tight end is rough. It's rougher than I think any of us thought it even would be right now. It's if you have Kelce, great. If you have Andrews, great. But I think some of those teams don't love their builds necessarily because they missed out on some big time wide receivers and RBs. So it is certainly an enigma. We're going to try to figure it out as best we can as the season goes on and help all of you continue to get W's. He is Jacob Gibbs. You can follow him on the Twitter machine at JAGibbs_23. Check out his work at Sportsline and at CBS Fantasy. Of course, check out all of Pat Fitzmaurice's great work here, fantasypros.com. And don't forget about our giveaway, the Jalen Hurts jersey, fantasypros.com/contest. Drop a review of the pod. Give us a nice 5-star review and enter to win. Also, don't forget, you get more opportunities to enter the contest when you subscribe on all of our social media channels. And you might as well subscribe to our YouTube channel as well at youtube.com/fantasypros. I want to thank the sponsors of today's show, including Flex Fantasy. Head over to flex.fan/pros. Again, that's flex.fan/pros, and create head-to-head or best ball challenges with your already existing teams. Sign up today at flex.fan/pros. And of course, don't forget about pristineauction.com/register and use that promo code fantasy. That's one word, fantasy, at pristineauction.com/register. PRISTINE auction.com. The place to get all the coolest sports memorabilia, authentic, awesome, all of that at pristineauction.com. That'll do it for us, but the story of the game goes on. For Jacob and Pat, I'm Joey P. We'll see you next time, kids.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros, and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
Did you know some travel credit cards offer 10 times points on your spending? Don't miss out on big rewards for your next trip. NerdWallet lets you compare smart travel credit cards side by side, curated by an expert team of finance nerds. What could future you do with better travel rewards? A free flight? A room upgrade? Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. Reminder, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. NerdWallet. Finance smarter.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Business. It's all the things that keep this world turning. And behind every one of these companies is a partner helping to keep it all moving. It's why the local flower shop and your favorite pizza joint, the startup in the stadium, hospitals and hotels, banks and restaurants nationwide, all choose the advanced network, cybersecurity solutions, and round-the-clock trusted partnership from Comcast Business, the company that powers more businesses than anyone else. Comcast Business, powering possibilities.
Restrictions apply. Call or visit ComcastBusiness.com to learn more.